You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
It's the spice which is the main ingredient in countless breads and cookies. It has traveled the world, starting in Asia, through to Europe, and over to the Americas. It has been used as medicine for thousands of years. Its connection to Christmas started with a hermit in France. We're exploring the history and origins of ginger. I'm your host, Glenn Warren, and welcome to another serving of Seasons Eatings, the podcast which explores the history and origins of your favorite Christmas foods. Seasons Eatings can be found wherever you download your favorite podcasts. If you haven't already, I would ask you to subscribe. That way you won't miss an episode when it's released, and all future episodes will be available without you having to search for them. If you can please take a minute and leave me a 5-star review, I would greatly appreciate it. Reviews help others find the podcast and help me know that you're enjoying what I'm doing. And if you let me know you've left a review, I'll send you a Seasons Eatings sticker as a personal thank you. Seasons Eatings is also found on most socials. All the links can be found in the show notes, which can be found at seasonseatingspodcast.com. And while you're there, you can buy me an eggnog. Just click on the little cup at the top of the page and leave a donation for as little as $3. Each donation is used for the running of the podcast and its general upkeep, so any help would be greatly appreciated. Finally, you can let me know how I'm doing, leave a suggestion for a future episode, or just say hello at seasonseatingspodcast@gmail.com. Ginger is a flowering plant whose rhizome, ginger root or ginger, is widely used as a spice and a folk medicine. It is a herbaceous perennial which grows annual pseudostems that are false stems made of the rolled bases of leaves about 1 meter tall, bearing narrow leaf blades. The inflorescences bear flowers having pale yellow petals with purple edges and arise directly from the rhizome on separate shoots. Ginger is in the family Zingiberaceae, which also includes turmeric, cardamom, and galangal. Ginger originated in maritime Southeast Asia and was likely domesticated first by the Austronesian peoples. Ginger is one of the first spices to have been exported from Asia, arriving in Europe with the spice trade, and was used by ancient Greeks and Romans. The distantly related dicots in the genus Asarum are commonly called wild ginger because of their similar taste. Ginger was carried with them in their voyages as canoe plants during the Austronesian expansion, started from around 5000 BC. It was introduced to the Pacific Islands in prehistory, long before any contact with other civilizations. It was also presumably introduced to India, along with other Southeast Asian food plants and Austronesian sailing technologies, during early contact by Austronesian sailors with the Dravidian-speaking peoples of Sri Lanka and South India at around 3500 BC. It was also carried by Austronesian voyagers into Madagascar and the Koromos in the first millennium CE. The population in the city of Remen Dehri in the Indus Plains may well already have been using ginger and turmeric as a seasoning for their food as far back as the 4th millennium BC. Ginger was certainly one of the first Oriental spices to have been introduced to the Northern Europe by Arab traders, and was brought in dried form to the Mediterranean by classical Greek times. Indeed, the plant was well known to the Greeks and was mentioned by the ancient Greek physician, botanist, and apothecary Dioscorides in his works. The Roman writer, naturalist, and philosopher Plinius Secundus, also known as Pliny the Elder, describes the medicinal uses of ginger in his Naturalis Historia. That said, only 3% of the recipes in Apicius include ginger as compared to 81% that call for black pepper. Ginger was being traded along the Silk Road from China to Rome by the 2nd century. The first written record of ginger comes from the Analects, written by the disciples of Confucius in China during the Warring States period, around 475 to 221 BC. In it, Confucius was said to eat ginger with every meal. In 406, the monk Faxian Dynasty, from 960 to 1279, ginger was being imported into China from southern countries. Ginger, along with its relative galangal, was imported into the Roman Empire as part of the very expensive herbal remedies that only the wealthy could afford. For example, for the kidneys. Aetius of Amida describes both ginger and galangal as ingredients in his complex herbal prescriptions. Raw and preserved ginger was imported into Europe in increased quantity during the Middle Ages, after European tastes shifted favorably towards its culinary properties. During this time, ginger was described in the official pharmacopoeias of several countries. But with the fall of the Roman Empire, the West lost or forgot about ginger. According to lore, perhaps apocryphal, it was reintroduced to Europe by an Armenian monk named Gregory of Nicopolis, who brought gingerbread to France in 992 AD. From India, it was carried by traders into the Middle East and the Mediterranean by around the 1st century. It was primarily grown in southern India and the greater Sunda Islands during the spice trade, along with peppers, cloves, and numerous other spices. By the 9th century, the medicinal properties of ginger were also become known in Germany and France. Meanwhile, the Venetian merchant and explorer Marco Polo first came across ginger while visiting China and Sumatra in the 13th century, and had some sent back to Europe. The Arabs introduced ginger to East Africa from India in the 13th and 14th centuries. It was introduced to West Africa by the Portuguese in the 16th century. The Mexican cultivation of ginger was initiated by the Spaniard Francisco de Mendoza, while later being introduced to Jamaica as well. The plant's introduction to South America and the West Indies by the Spanish was intended to improve the spice's availability. The English origin of the word ginger is from the mid-14th century, from the Old English gingifer, which derives in turn from the medieval Latin gingerbere. Gingerbere from the Greek zingiberis, from the Pakrit, Middle Indic, singabera, and singabera from the Sanskrit. The Sanskrit word is thought to come from an ancient Dravidian word that also produced the Tamil and Malaysian term insever, from the word ver, meaning root. An alternative explanation is that the Sanskrit word comes from snagnam, meaning horn, and vera, meaning body, describing the shape of the ginger root. But that may be folk etymology. The word probably was readopted into Middle English from the Old French, gingerbere. The humble ginger may have the longest history in human cultivation. Not only is it unknown in the wild, ginger can also, unlike its relatives, only be cultivated by dividing the root and not by growing it from seeds. Archaeological finds from settlements in the early inhabitants of India and China indicate they cultivated and used ginger as long as 7,000 years ago. Ginger originated from maritime Southeast Asia. It is a true cultigen and doesn't exist in a wild state. Most ancient evidence of its domestication is among the Austronesian people, whereas among several species of ginger cultivated and exploited since ancient times. They cultivated other gingers, including turmeric, white turmeric, and bitter ginger. The rhizomes and the leaves were used to flavor food or eaten directly. The leaves were also used to weave mats. Aside from these uses, ginger had a religious significance among Austronesians, being used in rituals for healing and for asking protection for spirits. It was also used in the blessing of Austronesian ships. The first written words recording of ginger appeared in China some 2.5 millennia ago. These early texts are also said to be written by Shenong, divine farmer, who is recognized as the father of traditional Chinese medicine. In order to evaluate herbs and describe their suitability as remedies, he is said to have tasted tens of different herbs daily. He miraculously survived the process to author the legendary Shenong Banqiao Jing, the first book about herbal medicine in China. In it, ginger is noted for its healing properties, a strengthening herb that is capable of maintaining health and well-being. In England, one of the first mentions of ginger is medicinal, not culinary. By the 11th century, ginger was well known in Britain. Found in the records of King Henry III's apothecary in 1242 to 1243, it was a kind of ginger conserve given to the king for medicinal reasons to treat the Black Plague. By the time of the reign of Queen Elizabeth I, around 1500, ginger plants were carried on ships to the New World colonies of the Caribbean, where it could be easily grown and cultivated for the domestic market at a cheaper price. Its use in foodstuffs then became widespread and was often imported in a preserve form for use in cooking of meats, biscuits, cakes, and confectionaries. It is said that Queen Elizabeth I invented the gingerbread man, a small sweet baked figurines given as gifts at royal courtiers at Christmas. Gingerbread man's were also used to decorate Christmas trees and festive holiday scenes with accompanying gingerbread houses, gingerbread animals, and trees decorated with sweet icing. German gingerbread Christmas decorations dating back to the 16th century were traditionally elaborate and made popular by Grimm's fairy tales, in particular the story of Hansel and Gretel. In the 17th century, Nuremberg became the gingerbread capital of the world, thanks to the elaborate gingerbread scenes that bakers would create and display in their shop windows. You can learn more about gingerbread in a previous episode. I'll put a link in the show notes. There was also a wine spiced with ginger, known as hypocras, and was considered medicinal and was drunk at the English court. And in the late Tudor and early Stuart periods, ginger and other spices were coming into England in increasing quantities. That is not to say it was easily available, though. There were no grocers and supermarkets like there are now. The guilds and traders controlled the imports, and the elite procured their own supplies, as did the master bakers. A small quantity of ginger could be obtained through the apothecaries or at markets, at a great cost. For most ordinary people, spice consumption was secondhand, included in made-up products. We'll find out how ginger conquers the English court and is moving to America after the break.
Thank you. Hi, this is Manny from Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad, the bilingual, multilingual Christmas podcast. In our podcast, you will hear about foods, traditions, how this 2020 Christmas will be interesting, especially from 6 feet away, and many more new surprises. Join me on the road to Christmas, along with many guest hosts from other podcasts from the Christmas Podcast Network. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, or just search for us on your favorite podcast platform. You could also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FCMN Podcast. Or visit our website, fcmnpodcast.com. Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad.
Hey everyone, and welcome aboard. My name is Chris Kringle, host of the Kringle Talks Christmas podcast, a fun new podcast all the way from sunny old England. If you like listening to cool Christmas stories, traditions, and some old personal favorites, then head on over to Kringle Talks Christmas. The episodes are available wherever you get your podcasts, and you can also follow me on Twitter, which is at Christmas Talks, spelt K-R-I-S-T-M-A-S Talks. Welcome once again, and I hope to see you soon.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Ginger was now a culinary luxury. Literally, as gingerbread, spices mixed with breadcrumbs and wine. The old associations remained. This dish was considered to have medicinal or tonic qualities, an early nutraceutical. It was tasty, but very crumbly, and was eaten with your fingers, picked up like a sweetmeat or with a spoon. In 14th century England, a pound of ginger cost as much as a sheep. By medieval times, ginger was being preserved and imported to England for use in sweets. A common use was gingerbread. However, the gingerbread of that time bears little resemblance to the cake or cookies we know today. It was more like a honey candy. But two developments in the New World had a direct effect on English gingerbread. First was the increase in the supply of ginger itself. Around 1525, during its occupation of Jamaica, Spain introduced ginger to the island. By 1547, the year of King Henry VIII's death, almost 2.5 million pounds of ginger were exported from Jamaica to Europe and England. There was a dip in production thereafter, but even so, the quantity of ginger coming into England skyrocketed. The second factor was the growth of the Caribbean sugar industry and the production of the dark sugar syrups like treacle and molasses. Jamaica became a leading exporter of sugar under British colonial rule. This was due to the labor of enslaved Africans and their descendants. This was a cheaper form of sweetener than dry sugar or honey, and gave gingerbread its distinctive dark color and deep flavor. By the 17th and 18th centuries, with sugar and ginger now relatively affordable and available, a mania broke out in Northern Europe and England for molded gingerbread. One particularly intriguing character of the day was Tiddy Doll, gingerbread seller extraordinaire. His nickname came from the gingerbread seller's street cry, "Hot spiced gingerbread, titty titty doll." Tall, handsome, and charming, one of the great London characters, he dressed like a gentleman in suits, trim with gold lace, charmed the ladies, and was always seen at the London fairs and the Lord Mayor's parade, where he sold gingerbread, which he claimed to make from a secret recipe. Ginger is known to soothe stomach ailments and nausea, and for this reason has long been served to pregnant women, to help reduce morning sickness or chewed by seafarers. It has even been shown to show or prevent cancerous tumor growth in animals. But its particular flavor has been beloved for millennia. Ginger wine hit the market in 1740 when the Finsbury Distillery Company in London fortified wine with ginger root and raisins. Ginger beer was brewed in Yorkshire, England in the mid-18th century using a recipe of ginger, water, lemon juice, sugar, and symbiote, which is a fungal bacteria that fermented the mixture over the course of a few days, rendering it alcoholic. Ginger ale is produced in two varieties, a pale, milder version made by Canadian John McLaughlin, and a golden version designed by American doctor Thomas Cantrell. Cantrell invented ginger ale while working as a pharmacist in Belfast and sold the recipe to the local drinks firm Grattan & Company. This version was essentially the same as ginger beer, whereas the drier tasting Canadian version, referred to from 1907 as Canada Dry Ginger Ale, is now the world standard for ginger beverages. From ginger tea to gingerbread to ginger snap cookies, candied ginger and gari, which is pickled, thinly sliced, accompanied to sushi, this is perhaps the world's most versatile spice. If we count the diverse ways it is put to use. Sure, salt and pepper and fairly ubiquitous, but ginger appears in such an array of food types as a primary flavor, whereas salt is largely a flavor enhancer. It appears tough to beat. The Victorian period was the heyday of gingerbread biscuits, cakes, and breads in Britain. There were gingerbreads flavored with orange, almonds, and coconut, using different spice combinations. Regional variants also emerged, like Whitby gingerbread and the famous Grasmere gingerbread, made with oatmeal or wheat, whole wheat flour. There was regional ginger biscuits too, like the Cornish fairings and the ginger nuts sold at Dawlish. The Museum of American Revolution reports that as soon as the kitchens had ovens and cooks had access to sweeteners, baking in America was on a roll. The museum also notes that original gingerbread recipes came to the colonists, the Quakers, and the Pennsylvania Dutch via relatives in England and Germany. Early iterations would have been a flat, crispy-like, snappy gingerbread cookies of their ancestors. But the discovery and creation of potash as a leavening agent, combined with acidic compounds in molasses or sour milk, allowed the kitchen creatives to bake a lighter, fluffier cake. The gingerbread recipe printed in the first American cookbook, American Cookery, by Amelia Simmons, calls for 3 pounds of sugar, 2 pounds of butter, 4 pounds of flour, 20 eggs, 4 ounces of ginger, and 4 teaspoons of rose water. Ginger has long been an important culinary and medicinal spice. However, its popularity in kitchens has waxed and waned as the centuries have passed by. As one of a number of pungent spices, along with black pepper and chili pepper, it may have had an important role to play in the near future of terms of helping to reformulate those foods that are high in sugar, salt, and fat, without necessarily having to compromise too much on taste or flavor. Ginger may especially be well-placed in this regard, given its remarkable culinary range, appearing in a wide range of both savory and sweet dishes, as well as in a number of popular drinks. Many chefs appreciate the spice's ability to lift a dish and provide freshness. While it was once described as peppery, researchers nowadays typically emphasize the spicy citrus and floral notes that ginger imparts instead. Importantly, however, the balance between pungency and citrusy aromatic notes depends on where the ginger is sourced from, as well as growing conditions, etc. The many beneficial culinary and medicinal properties that have been associated with ginger over the millennia help to explain its title as a natural gold. In 2016, global production was 3.3 million tons, up from an estimated 1.4 million tons in 2007. India is both the largest producer and also the largest consumer of ginger, contributing roughly a third to total global production. Next comes China, followed by Nepal, Indonesia, Nigeria, and Thailand. Ginger is also currently grown in Jamaica, Mexico, Australia, and Hawaii as well. Ginger's history and versatility makes it the perfect spice for the holiday season. It can give a little bit of warmth for those cold winter nights, and it can be used to soothe a sore throat or stomach. So the next time you're placing those gumdrops on that little brown cookie house, you can thank ginger for that wonderful scent of the holidays. I'm your host, Glenn Warren, and welcome to another serving of Seasons Eatings, the podcast which explores the history and origins of your favorite Christmas foods. Seasons Eatings can be found wherever you download your favorite podcasts. If you haven't already, I would ask you to subscribe. That way you won't miss an episode when it's released, and all future episodes will be available without you having to search for them. If you can please take a minute and leave me a 5-star review, I would greatly appreciate it. Reviews help others find the podcast and help me know that you're enjoying what I'm doing. And if you let me know you've left a review, I'll send you a Seasons Eatings sticker as a personal thank you. Seasons Eatings is also found on most socials. All the links can be found in the show notes, which can be found at seasonseatingspodcast.com. And while you're there, you can buy me an eggnog. Just click on the little cup at the top of the page and leave a donation for as little as $3. Each donation is used for the running of the podcast and its general upkeep, so any help would be greatly appreciated. Finally, you can let me know how I'm doing, leave a suggestion for a future episode, or just say hello at seasonseatingspodcast@gmail.com.